Facebook family. I am going to do my very, very best to attempt this again. I know that the last Facebook video totally bombed, and I am still learning this Facebook Live. You would think that if FaceTime is super easy, that this would be super easy, but apparently it's not as easy as you think when you're trying to get your guests on the show, but I am going to do my very best. So while we are waiting for my guests to accept the invitation so I can get them on the screen, I am just going to be hanging out with you guys. So, okay, looks like, so let's see here. While we're waiting for Kara to get on the show, a little bit of the Nicole show. Wait, I think she's on. Yay!
Hi. So it won't work on the laptop, but it works on my phone. So I'm trying to set it up to where we can be like, don't fall. Hold on.
Okay.
Continue talking. We're going to set this up.
Well, okay. I'm going to fix my screen. Oh, well. My screen is a little interesting.
So is ours. Here we go. Okay. Don't mess with it.
I don't know if you guys can see, but like on your screen, do you see just me, or do you see like a whole bunch of like pictures of all these little people?
I see you and us, and then I see pictures of those who are with us, like joined us to watch.
Yeah, I don't know how to make them go away.
I think if you're on live, I think you have to have that.
Oh, really? Okay, I didn't have it.
It's like you have to see who's watching you, and if they comment, like you can read what they comment, so it might be a little distracting, but we'll be fine, so.
Okay, before we start, I want to apologize for calling you Kara again. I see
you asleep. I do it all the time.
It's Kara, and then like when I get on the show, I call you Kara again. I'm like, oh my gosh, why does it keep happening to me?
That's fine, no worries.
So you have an unforgettable name. All right. So when, so when I started this video, I had a bunch of people watching, and then I was like, okay, we're going to have to attempt this again. So we may have lost a few people, but I'm just saying whoever, now that I have you guys on the screen and we went through some of the little technical mishaps or whatever, I'll just share with my viewers again what the show's about just before we get kind of right in. That way, you know, they know what they're in for. So we're like, we're going to buckle your seatbelts tonight. So the Jack and Nicole show started off as a blog, and God really just gave me this vision, and it was to encourage and inspire women in faith, fitness, health, and beauty. And not only did God open up that opportunity, but he also presented a spot for me to be on the radio just so that way I can reach more people. And with this season, God put in my heart really strong to have a basically like a social media community of women who love Jesus and who follow him in our modern day society, just to kind of give people like a little bit of a taste or a feel or a picture of what that looks like. Because I think that Jesus and Christianity get such a negative point of view or perspective, I think, nowadays. And what I wanted to do with this show is make it more of an invitation and a discussion to invite people, whether you believe in Jesus, you could be atheist, you could be Buddhist, Mormon, it doesn't matter. But I am inviting every person to come on the show and just hear what it's about, hear what these women of faith do in their daily lives, what it looks like to be single or married, and what it just, you know, what it looks like in your everyday life to follow Jesus and how they can apply it to their life. So that's kind of like a soft introduction. And I've only had one other couple join me, and that was a few weeks ago. We had Pastors Eric and Deborah come on the show. And so they are marriage counselors. And they have gone through a great deal of ups and downs and trials, and their story is so inspiring. And for those of you watching who don't know, But I had the privilege to coordinate your wedding back in September. So that was such a blessing. And just getting with you guys and, you know, getting to watch the entire ceremony from behind the scenes, it really blessed my heart to see a couple that was so on fire for Jesus and really unashamed of your faith. And I loved how bold you were about praying and just sharing your faith with other people. I think was so inspiring. And it's not every day that you get to witness a love that has Jesus in the center. And so I thought, what not better of a way to invite you guys on the show so you can share your hearts with our viewers of your testimony and how you guys became, you know, Christ followers, and just the real struggle that people face when you do give your life to Christ. Because I think one of the main misconceptions is that if we decide to give our hearts to Jesus and we want to start living a life that God has for us in the Bible, we think sometimes, because I was one of them, that our life is going to be this perfect white picket fence. Like the most beautiful roses, everything, you know, is completely peachy. And just because we have the Lord and he is very mighty and he's very strong in storms, we still face trials and tribulations. And I think that's where the misconception comes from when people say, yeah, I've tried Jesus or I've tried church or Christianity and it didn't work for me. Mm-hmm. What they're saying is, I did that and my life didn't get better instantaneously overnight. Yep. Like a microwave. So I'm going to drop that and go on to the next overnight miracle cream fix. And that's just not reality that we. So does look like we got a lot of our viewers back from my last little mishap. Hey, they're all. So now that I have everyone here, you know, ready to start the show, I'm going to introduce you guys again, a little more of a proper introduction, but I have Kara and Eddie Serrano. Did I say your last name right, too?
Yes. Yeah, again.
I was like, please, let me get right. Okay, people mess my last name up all the time, so doesn't matter. So a little bit, I know I had the opportunity to work with you guys to coordinate your wedding, but if you guys want to just introduce yourself to the guests, then you can be as, you know, whatever you want to say, you can say, and then we can jump into your testimony.
Perfect. So I'm Kara.
I'm Eddie.
If you didn't get that introduction already. Yeah. and we are high school sweethearts. We just recently got married in September. And we've been together for, it'll be 9 years in January. Yeah. So we've been together for a long time. Talk to you guys about our testimony and our relationship and our struggles through being a high school sweetheart, you know, couple.
Yeah.
I love that. That's so sweet. And it's not every day that you get to meet, you know, anybody that's been together that long, especially since high school. Because when I think of my high school days and, you know, a lot of the temptation and just the challenges that you face at that age as a young adult is never ending. And, you know, not only from my own experience, but also mentoring junior high and high school kids and seeing some of the stuff that they deal with nowadays. I know that the pressure, especially in dating and relationships, is like skyrocketed. Mm-hmm. But I know from talking to you, Kara, previously, you had mentioned that you came to Christ a little bit later in your relationship with Eddie. So if you wanted to just start kind of wherever you feel the most comfortable sharing your part of the story.
Yes, of course. as I was saying, we both did not have a personal relationship with Jesus before we were dating and when we started dating. If you can call that dating, because I feel like high school when you're 15, you're like, oh, you're dating. But it's like the high school boyfriend and girlfriend feel. Right. Yeah. So, but we were both 15 when we started, you know, going out, and did not have a personal relationship with Jesus. And then I think a year into us being together, I accepted Jesus into my life. I went to a church camp, and I had a lot of really good friends that were just on fire for Jesus that led me to Christ. I had a lot of wise counsel of women in my life that were leading me towards Christ. And so I made that decision. And then I kind of came back home on a camp high and told Eddie, and that was a whole new world for us. So I accepted him, and I don't think he was ready at that time to accept Jesus personally. He was accepting of it. He was happy for me, but he wasn't ready for himself. So we kind of spent a period of time where we were unequally yoked, a test too, that we had to work really hard through, and it brought a lot of heartbreak. We had to learn how to grow up together in that. We had to learn how to give up our identities and each other and our relationship. So one big thing for me in our relationship was being a high school girl, found my identity in him and our relationship, and that was my whole world. And then when Jesus was brought into my life, it was a whole new world with that. Like, oh, but I need to find my identity in Jesus. How do I do that? Like, you know, when you found your identity in the other person. So that was a big transition for us. I feel like I'm just going to lose where I was going to say. But so I would say we had a big breakup in college. I feel like I'm going too in-depth. Am I going too in-depth?
No. You just keep this
going. Okay. Well, this is part of my story. So, what?
Sorry, I have a question for you real quick. When you accepted Jesus, were you 16 at the time?
Yes.
So you're going to take a breakup in college. So I'm expecting you're like 18, 19.
Yeah. So fast forward to 19? Was it 19? I feel like my timeline of years. When you're together for so long, everything squishes together. So... Was it 19?
Our breakup?
Yeah.
So we had one. Yeah, when we were roughly 18, kind of closer to senior year, kind of about to end senior year.
And then in college, completely broke me down, broke my identity and Eddie down, and our relationship down. And during that time, I completely was able to focus on just Jesus and just his love for me and who I was in him. Fast forward a little bit, Eddie truly, he decided to give his life to Christ. And after that, that was when we learned how to join together again with Jesus truly in the center of it. So I feel like for me and my side of the story, it was a trial of growing up together, of going through being unequally yoked, of God breaking down him. It was so then during that time, just finding my identity in him. And then when he found his identity in Jesus, God kind of brought us back together then. And our relationship was truly Christ-centered at that point. That's a little bit of my side of our story and our testimony.
Right. That is incredible. And so, Eddie, how did it feel? Because I know, you know, like at 15, you're now... Because I know where my train of thoughts were when I was that age. And you think? So how was it for you, you know, when Kara comes back and she's explaining, you know, her experience at the camp? What were some of the thoughts through your head? And, you know, what was some of your questions or hesitations as to what the heck are you talking about? Yeah.
So growing up, I was raised in the church. I knew who God was, but I didn't have a light she had when she came back. But at the same time, I think I had developed this, this kind of stereotype about just, Christianity in general, if I can be honest, but, I was hesitant because I wasn't ready to fully live the kind of life that she was ready to live. I felt like there was, And like you said, at that age, I felt like I knew everything. I nobody could tell me anything different than what I already know, because I know it all. I wasn't ready for somebody to tell me how I should be living. I wasn't ready, really fully accepting, like, okay, I know that you accepted God in your life, but you know, what happens now? Mm-hmm. Because I was so set in my lifestyle and how I wanted to live and how I wanted to continue to grow up. So that definitely put some barriers between how we lived our relationship from mm-hmm. that point. So I was definitely hesitant because I didn't want to be told how I should live or what was right from wrong, because I felt like I knew.
Absolutely. I definitely relate to you in that sense because, you know, same thing. Yeah. So we stopped going to church, and my main focus after, you know, being so heavily involved in the church was I just want to be popular and I just want to be liked and I just want to do all the things so I can blend in. I don't want to, like, stand out, you know, because the pressure of standing out was, you know, really intense. So you thought, well, if I just in with everyone else, then, you know, my life will get easier. So along the way, it's like when you're blending in with the crowd, you start doing things everyone else is doing just because it's cool. So, you know, like I was partying, it's like you start to lose who you really are after a while. You don't even know, like, who am I? What's my identity? Because you're so focused on being like everyone else. Mm-hmm. So what happened to you? Like, what happened where you kind of woke up and you made that decision, like, hey, I think I do want to make Jesus my Lord and Savior. And what, so just tell me a little bit about your coming to changing.
During high school, when I was a senior in high school, and that really affected me. And I didn't, at that point, I didn't really know. It sounds weird, but it affected me to a point where I didn't really know, like, where I wanted to find my sense of purpose in my life. I didn't know if I wanted to find it in my relationship with Kara, in the people I was hanging out with. I didn't know if I wanted to find it in God. I really didn't know. So at that point, I started feeling really depressed. And kind of through that, a true sense of, okay, I know what I love. I want to pursue this kind of background. And really made me feel, just opened my eyes to how, I guess, beautiful this person God must be to. He made this. He gives you the ability to be this creative. And that really opened my eyes and made me want to get to know him more and really pursue a relationship with him more. So I think that was the biggest turning point in my life, where I decided I wanted to finally identify with putting God first in my life.
Awesome. So when you guys both made that decision to bring God in your life. And I think that's so cool that you talked about art too, just because my background is actually in graphic design. And so pretty much all I ever wanted to do was just that's draw. Awesome. Yeah. So that's really cool. And, you know, my parents did split up in high school when I was a senior in high school too. And that really affected me. So, you know, because I even feel like when you graduate high school and you're 18, 19, 20, even 21, you're leaving this world where your parents were kind of like your shelter and your provider. Now you're kind of like this adult, but not all the way.
Exactly.
And I think for me, my biggest concern or lie that I believe from the enemy is I was scared to surrender my whole heart to God because I thought the plans that he had for me was going to be something that I actually hated and despised because I thought my plan would be so much better.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But a lot of times when we kind of go down that road, we find out that our plans are so opposite of what we thought we wanted. This is not going the way that I planned.
Yeah. And
when you guys made that decision, how did that affect your relationship from previous, and what were some of the challenges that you face now that you know, you were both believers in.
I would say that, I mean, for, it's very different in the various stages that we were at. But when we were both on like truly the same page after he kind of got through, well, maybe to take a little backstory. Yeah,
so to backtrack, when,
sorry.
When I decided I wanted to live life for God and I wanted to put him first in my life in high school, I made that decision, but if I can be honest, I don't think that I fully did it on my own. I didn't fully do it for myself. So I think that kind of, so we were 18 then, that kind of grew, that kind of relationship, that half doing it for myself and honestly half doing it probably for Kara, that went on till about 2021. And it wasn't until that I was 21 that it really, really was my decision to live my life for Christ. Because when I was 21, that's when I really struggled with a lot of depression that I just let build up over the years. I hadn't let God take care of that area of my life. I hadn't sought his wisdom and counsel and just comfort in that area. So I really let my depression hit me then. In that time, that's when our big breakup was. That's when I was really struggling to find my identity. That's when I was, you know, I didn't want anything to do with God because I didn't want to live the way that he wanted me to live. I thought that I knew best. So I would, I struggled, you know, just going out, living my life with my friends how I wanted to, masking my depression with drinking and just staying up all night and just hanging out and doing my thing. But it wasn't until, honestly, one night where I really wanted to do, I wanted to draw that night, but I went out. The next morning, I woke up and I felt like somebody slapped me in the face and said, "What are you doing? Like, what are you doing?" And at that point, I felt like all of my creativity had been thrown out the window. I felt like I just didn't know where I was in my life or what I wanted to do in my life with my life. So at that point, that's when I really made the decision on my own to do my life for God, just with or without Kara, just solely for myself. And that's when I truly felt like I truly accepted God in my life. So,
yeah. And that's at that point where God broke me down in my identity and Eddie and my identity in our relationship. And I was at a point where I was like, God, with or without Eddie, like I am yours and use me how you want me. And so I think when we both got to that point, that's when God kind of led us back to each other. And to answer your question, that was a truly test of our faith in God at that point to be like, okay, this is where we're at. And individually we found Christ and not for, because of each other, not in our identity with each other, but truly for ourselves. If this is God's will for us to go forward and move forward with our relationship, how is that going to look? So we sought, you know, godly counsel. We truly sat down and prayed for the first time, like genuinely for each other and over our relationship. And it wasn't because he was forced to do it because he felt like he had to please me, or I didn't feel like I had to do it because I wanted to be his savior or his leader and lead him to his faith. So it was just for the first time, just as genuine in that. And so I would say that, to answer your question, long story short, our lifestyle changes was how we sought God together, how we respected each other, how we would fight, you know, just even like healthy fighting, and how we would resolve that fighting, and how we would learn how to be selfless, like truly selfless for each other. And God really grew us in those, you know, past few engaged, because we wanted it to be where we knew we had a solid foundation in Christ before we moved to the next step of marriage. And I would say that as lifestyle, like with friends, I mean, he had a group of friends that were completely living a different lifestyle than what God called him to live. So that was, you know, his decision to kind of move forward and move away from that and say goodbye to his complete like old self that was, and we went more than the other, and there's, you know, there, it was definitely a few years of just God being like, no, I need you guys separate. I need you guys to truly find me on your own before you find me together. And so when we did, that like changed completely everything about our lifestyle and our relationship. So
that's so awesome. And I know how hard that must be to, especially for women, because I think it's really easy for girls, like even for myself, you find there was such a long period of time where I wanted to be in a relationship or married so bad, but because of that desire, I was getting into relationships that weren't really healthy for me. And, you know, I think you bring up a good point too, is just because, you know, somebody says that, hey, I'm a Christian and I go to church, it's a lot different than, you know, and if your heart is really seeking a relationship, we want to have like a gold chart, like a little gold star chart where I just want a list of everything I need to do to be perfect.
Yes, yeah.
Living my life. But what happens then is that we start to put our, like our good deeds or whatever we're doing for God actually above God. So now it's like we're taking whatever relationship we would have with Jesus and now we're idolizing it in our own strength to be perfect. And it's it was, you know, realistic. I think so many times people feel if my life isn't perfect, then I can't come to Christ because I don't have my life cleaned up. And I heard a friend say this, and I'll never forget it because I thought it was the best analogy to this. But a friend of mine was saying that when you have a relationship with Jesus, it's like if your car is dirty, you take it to the car wash, right, to get cleaned. Has anybody ever been so embarrassed to take their car to the car wash? So they're like, well, I'm going to clean. I think with the car that was perfectly clean, they look at you and be like, why are you cleaning? Bought from you on oil change. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. And so, you know, God is here because his heart is to have a relationship with us. And I love how you guys, in the midst of, you know, the breakups and discovering your identity, God was faithful. He did bring you guys back together. And that was, you know, a deep desire of your heart. But you're married. What would you want to say to other couples who they have a relationship with God, but they really haven't put him first because they've been putting each other first? Or to the single man or woman who so desperately wants a relationship, but they're seeking their identity in like a future spouse instead of God?
Okay. No. I don't want to lose my thought. Are you going to lose your thought? No. Are you sure? Okay. For me, I think I would say pursuing Jesus over everything. No, if I am not in tune with Jesus, if I am not like pursuing him first, then he has to deal with me being a hot mess. And I'm like, you know, I'm not the nicest wife. I don't take care of him the way I should. And that's when we get turmoil in our relationship. So first and foremost, for the singles, pursuing Jesus first is where he's going to lead you to that person, to who you need to be for that person. And for me, that's my advice.
I guess my advice would be, especially to couples who are putting their identities in themselves, and I would say that learning to love God individually first and foremost before the other person really will show you how to have a selfless love. Mm-hmm. It will really show you how to love that other person just genuinely and fully and just without condition. I would say that that's the best thing that you can do for yourself is loving God and finding that relationship with him first. And just like Kara said, he will bring that person to you. Mm-hmm. And through him, you'll find that person. It's just, honestly, the biggest priority is making God your absolute and first and foremost love, and he will bring that partner for you.
Yeah, because even though like we have been together and we're high school sweethearts, it wasn't right at the time. Like God wanted us to be apart and be single and find our identity in him first before bringing be who you are in Christ before you are with somebody else. So just truly just focusing on the season that God has you in and not focusing on the negative, but really focusing on him preparing you for that part. So
I think that's so important. I love that you guys together, just from the woman's point of view and the, you know, the man's point of view from where you guys were, so inspiring to those who are listening, just because I think in our mindset, as he said, you know, instead of searching for the right one, you need to first become the right one. Mm-hmm. And I'm focusing on yourself. And I know we've talked so much about identity. And I think sometimes people who may be new to the Christian faith, not really understand, you know, what that means. And the best way that I can describe that to you, if, you know, if someone out there listening is, well, why do you keep talking about identity? You know, what does that mean? Feel, or I always feel good around something, it always makes me happy. And one of the most rude awakenings that I found out is that it's not other people's job to make me happy. Mm-hmm. It's my own choice. It's my own choice in life if I'm going to allow a person, a circumstance, or a negative situation to make me depressed or to be happy. Mm-hmm. And I think really the difference where we can draw the line from the love that the world has to offer and the love that Christ dying on the cross has to offer, the world that we live in, you know, your whole life can change in a text message. Your whole life can change from waking up to maybe your spouse is gone, your family member is gone. You could be in the hospital because you got in such a bad car accident. So if you're putting your hope or your happiness in your career, you can lose it. If you're putting money, you know, I always think, why would you put your happiness in a piece of paper that in a match can light up and be gone? Like someone can take
it.
And those are things that you don't have control over. And we put our happiness or our joy in circumstances we have no control over, then that's where we're like opening our heart up to be disappointed or depressed or discouraged, or now my identity's gone because that person, that thing, that drink, that smoke is gone. That high's gone. Mm-hmm. You know? And with the drinking or the smoking or the partying, it's like now you need 5 drinks when before you only had 1. Now you need more and more to keep you feeling okay. Mm-hmm. You know, it's gone. You don't know how to cope with life. And so I think the best, you know, way I can explain it, Father forsake you, he's always there for you. Mm-hmm. And the scripture also says too is that before you even came to life, he saw your unformed substance in your mother's womb, and all the days of your life were written in his book before any one of them took place. So there's hope in knowing that a God who loves you, who created you, who even came on earth as Jesus, lived a sinless life, and then died for your sins, perfect as he was, and was ridiculed for things he didn't do. That kind of love, like no one can love you like Jesus can love you.
Yeah. Right.
And we fill our love tanks with all of Jesus, then we're able to be loved to other people, whether they love us back, make us happy back, or whatever we think we need back from them, because our source is in God who never changes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think it's so special too that you're pulling your source from an unlimited source for each other. Yeah. So that was my little teaching on that, because so many people ask me, you know, oh, you talk so much about identity, but I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I know we talked and covered so many different topics. And so before I end this show, do you guys have any last anything on your heart that you wanted to share? Or do you guys feel like you shared everything you guys wanted to?
Do you feel like you shared everything?
I think so, do you?
Yeah, I feel like we shared everything. I'm super grateful for this opportunity. Ed and I have always talked about just our story and how unique it feels to us and just the trials that we experience with being high school sweethearts and what we talked about and our identity and then truly finding ourselves in Christ. We always talked about wanting to share. We always talked about it like, oh no, we need to be at a certain point to get there. We need to be at a certain point. And showed us that we don't need to be at a certain point. Like, we can just share our story. We can share what's on our heart. And I feel like God used this opportunity for us to grow even in this situation. So I just feel like this is a new step towards, you know, hopefully something more for down the road, just where however God wants to use our story. If anyone's watching this, that if any girls are in high school or any high school couples, because it's actually kind of rare to have, you know, that long-term relationship at that age, that we would love to, if you had any questions or wanted to reach out to us, or we have, you know, we're here for support and just to be able to share our experiences as well, more in depth, like we're here. So we just wanted to thank you for the opportunity for us to share our story and our testimony.
Thank you guys so much. It really blesses my heart that I had the opportunity to meet you guys and that you were able to come on the show and just be so vulnerable and transparent with our guests. Because I know, especially when you're talking about a sensitive subject and we're doing it Facebook Live, it's like airing our dirty laundry to like every...
Seriously.
But you know, I know when we are able to let our masks off and be vulnerable with others, it definitely inspires and encourages other people, you know, in their personal walk with God or in their journey to find purpose in life. And I also wanted to just let everyone know that we are going to be putting a blog post about everything we talked about tonight. And I put that up on my personal blog, and that is at www.jacolynicole.com. So that's jacolynicole.com. And I'm going to be putting all the links to Cara and Eddie's social media sites that they are willing to share with us. So that way, if anybody who was inspired by tonight's video has a question for them, could reach out. And we're going to be putting that up later on this week, as well as the podcast to the radio. And I know that this was being broadcast live tonight on Central City Radio. And so I have the pleasure of putting that up on the blog post as well. So I just want to thank you, everybody, for sticking with us tonight. I know it was a little bit long, you know, trying to get it up, but it definitely, you know, ended up being really successful. And I just thank you so much again from the bottom of my heart for tuning in tonight and being with us.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
I will talk to you guys soon.
Thank you so much for having us. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.